Good morning. My name is David Short, and the title of my living book is The Joys of Traveling. Now, most people think of traveling as getting onto a plane and going to a destination. That is not my idea of traveling. Traveling involves going on your own speed. This means walking, cycling, hitchhiking, traveling by train, by bus, by boat. Traveling with no destination in mind. No time limit. You travel to where you want to go. If you enjoy it, you stay longer. If you don't, you move on and go to other places. When you get onto a package tour, you get what people give to you. When you travel on your own speed, you see what you want to see, and you get many surprises. The package tours try to protect you. When you travel by yourself, things happen. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. But the whole purpose of travel is to educate yourself. A person who has traveled quite often gets a better education than people who have spent years in school and university. I can give you some examples of this. I traveled along North Africa. This would have been in the early 1960s. I was only in my 20s then. And I traveled to a country called Libya. That country has been in the news over the past year because they had a revolution and kicked out their old government. But at the time I went through, there was still a king in the country, a man by the name of King Idris. There were British bases there, there were American bases, there was even an American Coast Guard station, all of which I saw. If I'd been on a package tour, I would never have seen any of that. One story that I think you will enjoy. I was traveling with a German boy. His intention was to go down to Africa and get a parrot and a monkey. And I thought, okay. We were waiting for a ride and he said, "You never see any snakes or scorpions in this country." I said, "Of course you do. They're all over the place." He said, "Where?" I said, "Well, turn over a rock. Turn over a rock. Brown scorpion. Turn over another rock. A green scorpion. Turn over another rock. A yellow scorpion. Another rock. A brown scorpion." This German guy said, "I have to have some." So we looked around for glass jars and tins and bottles. And he got himself a green scorpion, a brown scorpion, a yellow scorpion, and a red scorpion. While we were doing this, suddenly I noticed a snake on the floor. The German guy, what does he say? "I have to have it." So I said, okay. Now, I didn't know what kind of snake it was. I didn't know if it was poisonous or not, but I wasn't going to take any chances. So I had a good knife with me, so I cut a long stick with a fork on it, and I pinned the snake right behind the neck. And then I was able to slide my hand down the snake's body and grab hold of it. And I said, "You get that bottle over here." He brought the bottle over, and I went to put the snake's head in the bottle. And the snake was of it's called an asp. And when they're frightened, or to frighten you, they flatten their head. And of course it makes their head much better, bigger, and it couldn't go in the bottle. And we tried and tried, and there was this Libyan soldier who was watching us, thinking these crazy foreigners. And he came up and pointed the snake, I pointed the bottle, told him I wanted to get the snake in the bottle. Put his gun down on the floor, sit. Grabbed the snake behind the head, lifted it up, grabbed hold of the tail. He spun around in circles, and the whole time he's... After he'd done this, got the bottle and went... And the snake was in the bottle. Now, you wouldn't have got that on a package tour. We went a little way down the road, and the German guy says, well, I've got all these things. He said, why don't I go further up down the road? He said, and I'll give you your first chance at hitchhiking a ride. He said, but if you can get them, give me a ride too, that's good. So someone stopped for me. We started driving down the road. And I said, can you pick up my friend? And the guy said, oh yeah. He stopped. He looked down. He saw four jars with a scorpion in. And he saw a bottle with a snake in. And he said, no thanks. And we drove on. Now that's, as I said, not what you would get in a package tour. Another point, I was in northern Pakistan. Now, there's an area called Chitral. This is very much a tribal people. They bury their dead above ground in wooden coffins. And that area now, as you may have read in the papers, is now Taliban country. This is where the terrorists from Afghanistan hide out now, and they control that valley. But at that time, they were very peaceable people. And I was traveling through there with a girl from Luxembourg, and we were trying to get to the central town, and this involved much up and down on the mountains, very high mountains, much higher than the mountains around here. We're talking 14,000 to 16,000 feet. The roads were what are called hairpin bends. They would be very tightly going up and down the mountains, so tight that the vehicles that had to make these turns could not go round fully. They would go to the edge. They would have the Pakistani people would have a young boy who traveled with them, and when they got to the edge, he would jump out and put a rock in front of the wheels. So they were notorious for not having good brakes. And as soon as they backed up, he'd pull the rock out and they'd make the turn. We were picked up by a team of three Austrian mountain climbers who were going to climb a very high mountain there that had never been climbed. And they said, well, we really don't have room for you. But they said they could put the girl inside the van, just because the whole back of the Jeep was full of their mountain climbing equipment. And they said, if you don't mind, you can sit on the front of the Jeep. Now, this meant hanging onto the Jeep with my hands, with my foot on the number plate, and I would be sitting on the front of the Jeep as it came to the edge of the road, and I would be looking straight down, you know, with drops of 500 to 1,000 feet. This was fine. As we got closer to the top, they get a lot of snow because it's so high up. We had walls of snow either side of the road, 16 feet high, which is twice the height of this classroom, roughly. And the road would be about 10 feet across, and then there was the snow either side. We got to the top of the pass, which was around 16,000 feet, and they were repairing the road. Now, it's a very difficult place to get gravel, because the gravel is way down in the valleys. They didn't have a lot of trucks. They hired women and children to break up rocks with small hammers to create gravel, if you can imagine. And when we got to the top, everyone got out to take a rest. And one of the Austrian mountain climbers, he came to the edge of the slope. He looked down, and you could see the road going down like that. There was snow all the way down. And he said, "I'll see you guys at the bottom." And he turned around, he walked back, and he ran at the edge of the road and leapt into space. Well, the Pakistani road crew, they were just absolutely dumbfounded. They all rushed to the edge of the road to see this crazy European dead somewhere down there. Instead, he was using a technique called glissading. This means skiing without skis. He used his boots were his skis, and we watched him, and he was he got to the bottom half an hour before we did. Again, something you would never get from a package tour. It's only when you go at your own speed that this sort of thing happens. When we were going down the hill, we had to cross a river. Not a deep river, probably a foot and a half, 2 feet deep. We had to wait to cross for 20 minutes because there was a mule train carrying supplies and trade goods from remote areas coming into Pakistan. When we were eventually able to start off, we got halfway across the stream, and suddenly we stopped. And we tried to back out. We couldn't back out. And so we had to get down, and this is in water that was glacier, well, not glacier, snow-fed, so it's extremely cold, colder than your cold tap. And we'd found that we had hitched onto the bottom of the jeep a tree stump. Not very big, about that big, but it got wedged in the bottom of the jeep. We couldn't get it out. Luckily, they had a saw, so we had to saw underwater. We'd take turns in doing it because you got so cold so quickly. And eventually we managed to saw through the wood, and we were able to carry on with our journey. Once again, not something that would have happened on a package tour. They want to protect you from things like this. But these are the things that make traveling interesting. My final story is about Egypt. I lived in Egypt for about 2 months. I traveled quite extensively. But one of the things that always intrigued me about Egypt was that in Napoleonic times, the French invaded, and I knew that they had been at the pyramid. So I thought it would be interesting to climb the Great Pyramid and see if I could find any French names carved in the top of the pyramid. Now, at that time, it was still possible to climb the Great Pyramid. It's not allowed now. But in Victorian times, they used to have races to to the top of the pyramid. Now, the pyramid blocks are at least this high, so it's a big step up. And when you're up there, you have a remarkable view of the surrounding area because you're quite high. And I walked carefully around the top of the pyramids looking for the names that were carved. Didn't find any French names at all. But in one corner of the pyramid, I found carved in the rock, H. Short, 1943. Now, my father's name was Henry, and I knew that he had been at the Great Pyramid because we had photographs of him standing in front of it. And I thought, it has to be my father. So I carved my name underneath his and put the date, which was, I believe it was 1963. And I got back to England about 6 months later. And I said to him, "Did you ever climb the Great Pyramid, Dad?" And he said, "Yeah, but I'd forgotten all about that." And I said, "While you were up there, I said, did you carve your name in it?" And he went, "Yeah, I'd forgotten all about that too." I said, "Well, I carved my name underneath yours. And if I have children, maybe I'll send them there as well." I thought you would enjoy that story, because it's one of those wild coincidences that should never happen, but do sometimes. I hope you've enjoyed the stories. And if you have any questions, you can ask me.